executive officer, Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Please remain upstanding for the opening prayer and the reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. Amen. Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. Apologies and leave of absence.
Apologies this evening from Councillor Renata Cugliari and Councillor Nola Dunn, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Changes to the order of business?
No.
Deputations?
No deputations this evening.
Thank you. Declaration of any pecuniary interest, conflict of interest of any councillor? Okay. Councillor Carley, please.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have an interest in 11.4 with the Section 223 budget submissions. It's included with the actual budget for item 14, I think it is.
Submission 14.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay, I'll rise now because I have a conflict of interest with item 11.10 on the agenda and also items 9.2 and 18.1, which refer to the 2014-15 Community Grants Program, as I am a member of Jerrawarra Health.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a conflict of interest with item 9.2, the Community Grants Program, which is now 18.1. Due to my membership of the Lions Club of Melton.
And Madam Mayor, I also wish to draw to Council's attention that I have a direct conflict in Officer's Report Item 11.10, International Conference on Learning Cities, as the author of that report and as also one of the possible attendees. So.
Thank you. With all those conflicts or interests noted, we will now move on to adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Do I have a mover for those minutes?
Madam Mayor, I move the minutes. That's better. I move the minutes and questions are correct.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. We have a mover for those, the minutes, being Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Correspondence inwards?
No, Madam Mayor.
Petitions and joint letters?
There are no petitions or joint letters this evening.
Okay. Having noted there are two conflicts of interest in regards to item 9.1, which is the resumption of debate or business carried over from a previous meeting.
9.2.
Oh, sorry. 9.1 is fine. We'll go on to 9.1. Yep, got it. Okay. I'll start again. I'll repeat that for 9.2. Resumption and debate from the previous meeting, proposed community achievement award. We deferred that because it was Councillor Majlik's initiative and we wanted her to be part of the debate. So it's access and inclusion leaders for the for the year award. It's going to be presented by Mr. Morihini.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to the councillors. This reflects a notice of motion that was raised by Councillor Majlik at the ordinary meeting of Council on the 10th of March 2015. And the motion read that officers implement a new Community Achievement Award specifically under the category of Melton Disability Award for all future Australia Day celebrations, that officers present the councillors some options as to what or who may be included in this category to celebrate and recognise the important contributions made by people and or organisations who are affected by disabilities. Some further background, councillors, if I may. This was discussed with a number of officers across the organisation. It was also discussed at the Disability Advisory Committee meeting some time ago, where the proposal was for an Australia Day Disability Award, and agreed that an additional award within the existing Council Community Achievement Award program could be achievable. The award may be titled Access and Inclusion Leaders of the Year Award and be open to all residents or not-for-profit organisations. The selection for this award could be a commitment to improving the life of people with a disability in, of course, the City of Melton. There are, we believe, about six other organisations that we've sought feedback from councils anyway that provide a similar award. The current category awards are for Australia Day, Citizen of the Year, which is open to all residents of the City of Melton. The next one is the Young Citizen of the Year, again open to residents of the city but under 25 years of age. And also the Community Project of the Year, which is open to all community projects within the City of Melton. And a Woman of the Year, open to all women, of course, within the City of Melton. So we think it is achievable as an award. We think it is an achievable that could be part of the Australia Day ceremony and awards. And as such, officers are putting forward three recommendations, councillors, to you this evening. And they're on page 5, and I will read them. And that is to create a new award within the annual Community Achievement Awards program titled Access and Inclusion Leader of the Year Award. And two, to make the award open to all residents in the City of Melton and add an additional selection criteria to the award category as stated, commitment to improving the life of people with a disability in the City of Melton. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Okay, does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move this motion, and may I say a few words if the motion is seconded?
Certainly. Councillor Majlik has moved the recommendation, and I take it Councillor Turner is about to second the recommendation.
I'd be pleased to second this motion and thank Councillor Majlik for the motion. Thank you.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik and seconded by Councillor Turner. So, Councillor Majlik, you may address the chamber.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors, for deferring this item from last month's chamber meeting. I really appreciate it. It is with great pleasure, Madam Mayor, that I support this initiative and motion. During my year as Mayor, I had initiated the award to recognise the brilliant women in our community during Council's Australia Day Celebration Award Ceremony. With the support of this particular motion, this council will also recognise the brilliant efforts of the community members that rise to the occasion in the caring, supporting and improving the lives of people living with disability within our community. I thank my fellow councillors, the officers and the Disability Advisory Committee for their support and for the legacy that this council will leave in the recognition of access and inclusion for our community members. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Now, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Now I'll go back to 9.2, as there have been two conflicts of interest registered by Councillor Turner and myself. The minute we leave the chamber, that item would not be able to be heard anyway because there isn't a quorum. So we will now move direct. We will allow that to remain on the table until next month, and we will move on to public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of public questions this evening. The first question is from Prasad Ranatunga. Is Mr. Ranatunga in the gallery? In that case, a written response will be provided to this question, which was in relation to traffic light at the corner of Overton Lee Boulevard and Hume Drive. So a written response will be provided. Second question this evening is from Karen Shermer. Is Miss or Mrs. Shermer present in the gallery? As required under local law, you must be present, so that question will not be dealt with this evening, but again, a written response will be provided. And the question essentially sought an update on the Westwood Drive Bridge in Burnside, which has been a rather long-running issue. The next question is from Carolyn McGavin, and Carolyn is present in the gallery. And the question reads, on recent trips to Ballarat, I have observed disabled parking signs have a two-hour limit so as to prevent spaces being taken up all day by one vehicle. This has happened recently in High Street by one business-related shop owner doing this. Can the council please look into replacing the current signs with similar worded signage? This will be responded to by Mr. Les Stokes, the Acting General Manager of Planning and Development.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Yes, to date, Council has not had the need to address this issue. However, it's willing to consider this approach. There indeed needs to be a balance between ensuring that users have sufficient time to carry out their required tasks in High Street and also ensuring that there is enough turnover of those spaces so that they can be accessed by others. So Council's aware of that balance. And as I said, it hasn't had the need to date to do so. However, we'll contact you shortly if there's any specific locations you'd like to see that treatment included, or whether it's more of a general approach across High Street, but we'll be in contact shortly.
If it's clarification only.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, right. Carolyn.
Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Alan Fairweather, and he's present, or Mrs. Alan Fairweather. I've got it written as Mr., so. The question is, seeing works being done in the drain outside the large block in Outlook Ride, will the council notify all residents who objected to it being subdivided into small blocks if there is a new proposal for this area? This will be responded to by Les Stokes, again, as Acting General Manager of Planning and Development.
Yes, once again, thank you for your question. At this time, Council has not received any further proposals to subdivide the land, and it's important to note that under the provisions of the current neighbourhood residential zone that applies to the land, the minimum lot size is 2,000 square metres where the land is able to be connected to reticulated sewage. In the event that a planning application is submitted in the future to subdivide the land, then it's part of the process that notice of the application would be given to the surrounding residents.
Next question, also from Mr. Fairweather, is in June of 2015, moving ahead, the photo on page 16 is reversed. The clock tower is on the western side of Palmerston Street, not the east. Does the council proofread their publications, or is it just done to confuse people, as this is not the first time I have seen this mistake in council advertising? And again, Mr. Les Stokes will respond.
Yes. The image you're referring to on page 16 of the June edition of Moving Ahead is in fact accurate. It's an image of the proposed Melton Town Centre revitalisation project, and I believe you may be confusing the location of Palmerston Street with a footpath, a quite wide footpath on that image. The Palmerston Street can be seen on the very left of the image. Happy to catch up with you after the meeting to analyse the image, but it can be seen on the far left, and I think you are just confusing it with that path, but happy to.
Mr. Stokes, I think he can arm wrestle with Alan later.
We did bring a copy to demonstrate the point later. Next question is from Carolyn McGavin. The question is, I am asking a question in reply to a letter received by Melton Residents Association dated 20th of May from Mr. Ian Stewart, Manager Compliance, in regard to the removal of outdated garage sale signs from public places and poles. What further progress on this issue will be followed through with the inclusion of clauses, as said in the letter, to allow greater enforcement by local laws officers? This is to be responded to by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Corporate Services.
Thank you very much for your question, Carolyn. It's certainly something that irritates not only yourself but many other people, I can say, potentially including myself. At this point in time, we are continuing to remove the signs that are considered a safety risk, where residents can be identified. Council does enforce the Litter Act, but we are limited in our ability to be able to do this in order to get the signs removed. The general local law, which we have been discussing in public forums for some period of time, still is currently in draft form. We're just waiting for the finalisation back from our legal representative to confirm that. And then we will be starting the public consultation process, where you and others may well have every opportunity to have input into that. And we're planning that for the second half of this year. Once that local law is adopted, we believe we'll have greater enforcement powers to see the likes of these sorts of things eradicated, if not permanently, but certainly well and truly controlled into the future. Thank you.
The next question is from Tony Di Pasquale. Tony's present. Can the council please tell the public why Belgravia Leisure has been left to run the Melton Waves Leisure Centre to the state of disarray it currently is in? The gym floor remains littered with broken and damaged equipment that is dangerous for members to use, and their habitual stance to leave the gym area understaffed before 6 a.m. after 8 p.m. and occasionally between 2 and 5 p.m. means that there is no staff member to gain assistance from when accidents occur. If members get injured when equipment fails, as I did on the 8th of May this year, are they supposed to apply first aid to themselves? Who can they report injuries to, as they are supposed to, if there are no staff on the gym floor or behind the front desk? Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, will provide the response.
Thank you, Tony, for your question. First of all, Belgravia Leisure is the current operator of our leisure centre, being Melton Waves. Has operated that for many years, and come the 1st of July will be in the last year of their tenure for that contract, and Council is reviewing as we speak what we do with that, and that will be a subject of a council briefing in the near future. And that's part of the review, and that commenced in November 2014. Also, December 2014, Belgravia, there were some adjustments made to the staffing and supervision levels of the health club, so you've picked that up. Staffing was reduced during the quietest time of the day within the health club, around about 2:30 to 4:30, I believe. This is in line with the current industry practice of the 24/7 gym facilities, which are where some of the gyms now don't have staffing at all. They just have an access code and a card, and you go in and do what you need to do. So we've asked them to specifically look at some opportunities there. Whilst the gym floor is not staffed by a gym instructor, as it is in peak times, during this time the duty manager and the membership sales teams are readily available to assist the customers as required within the health club. And it is these people who provide first aid requests, and that should be directed to those. Belgravia has also introduced more personal trainers who will be training clients and can observe other gym users on the floor, is the intention. The duty manager completes regular checks of the facility throughout their shift, and particularly at this time. The reception of the centre is staffed from 5 a.m, and that's when the centre opens, until 9 p.m, of course, the closing, and all days of the week. There is also signage placed in the gym during the hours of 2:30 to 4:30 p.m, directing any queries to the customer service team or the duty manager or membership sales team. But I'm happy to take that up with Belgravia for you, and we're scheduled to meet them probably next week, so I'll raise these questions at the same time. And the only item of equipment that we're aware of out of order is a stepper, I believe, which has had maintenance requests raised to repair. All the other steppers are working. There's also a barbell that's been removed from the gym floor, so I'm not sure if that reflects your observations. Happy to talk to you later if you're around. But we will raise these your concerns with our provider next week. Thank you for your question.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor's in the gallery. The state government has recently launched the consultation phase for Victoria's new road safety strategy and action plan. It is my opinion that these types of strategic plans provide all stakeholders with an opportunity to highlight and prioritise major infrastructure developments necessary for growing communities, in particular the duplication of Melton Highway and the construction of the Calder Freeway Calder Park Drive overpass. Has Council contributed to the consultation phase, and does input from Council support a sooner rather than later approach to the Calder Freeway and Melton Highway projects? This will be responded to by Mr. Les Stokes, Acting General Manager, Planning and Development.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey, and thank you, David, for your question. Council has contributed to discussion forums regarding Victoria's road safety strategy, and in addition to this, Council is currently developing an integrated transport strategy which also advocates for investment in road infrastructure to improve road safety. Road safety strategies, including our own, the state's and the federal government's strategies, always deal with the road safety network in a safer systems manner, safer systems. Includes safer roads, safer roadsides, safer vehicles and safer people. So naturally infrastructure improvements are part of these strategies, and Council's general advocacy around infrastructure to the state and federal governments certainly is a sooner rather than later approach. We certainly don't ask for them to delay it, so it's definitely our approach.
The last question this evening, Madam Mayor, is also from Mr. O'Connor. It reads, construction has commenced on two vacant commercial properties in Cradle Road, Diggers Rest. What additional parking has been planned to provide adequate parking facilities for prospective business patrons and employees, especially given the reduced parking space to accommodate the recently relocated Australia Post box? Again, Mr. Les Stokes to respond.
Thank you again, and thank you, David. Planning permits were issued by Council in May 2014 for the construction of two shops at 25 and 29 Cradle Road in Diggers Rest. Each shop will be provided with one on-site car parking space. The permit also authorises a reduction in parking based on demonstration that car parking generated by the premises can be accommodated by existing parking at the centre and also the surrounding street network.
That concludes public questions, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Torrey. Okay, we'll move on to the presentation of staff reports. 11.1.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3 and 11.8 and accept officers' recommendations as written.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Procedural motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik to move 11.1, 2, 3, is it 4? And 8. Do I have a seconder for the recommendation? 1, 2, 3 and 8.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll second. I'm adding 1, 2, 3 and 8.
8, that's it. Okay. Moved by Councillor Majerlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those... Oh, sorry. Does anyone oppose the block to block these items on the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move on to item 11.4. Let me get up to speed. The minutes of section 223. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, before the officers give their report, I did declare an interest in this because of section 14 of the budget 223 submissions. I was just wondering, would my fellow councillors be able to discuss item 14 of the budget 223 submissions, and I leave the room and then come back in to, for the rest of the item agenda, or the agenda.
Have I got agreement from all of the councillors?
Madam Mayor, just a clarification. So would we move or not move this item excluding 11 point whatever it was that Councillor Carley...
No.
Like how would the mechanisms work
what
of that?
What Councillor Carley's asking us to do is hear item number or consider item number 14.
Recommendation 15, it is indeed.
It's 15, sorry, I thought you said it's 14.
Submission 14.
Recommendation
14, my
point. Recommendation 14 of the budget 223. Then whatever, whilst she is absent from the room, and then she will come back into, and we will go into the remainder of the section 223 and also the budget discussions.
I don't have an issue with that. Sorry, Madam Mayor, as long as the mechanisms work, I don't have an
works.
Issue with that.
Can
okay.
work.
All right, Councillor Carley.
We'll give some direction to council. I think, sorry, mm-hmm. some direction in terms of the resolution that now needs to be considered, which is that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Council, just we're doing this a little bit out of sequence. So normally we would present the report and the findings of the section 223 committee, which I'm happy to do. I guess when Councillor Carley returns, but on page 106, a recommendation of the section 223 committee. Was recommendation 14 from the Westside Strikers Caroline Springs Football Club. The committee was recommending to this council to consider that $30,000 be allocated within the 2015-16 budget to provide hard ground cover around the synthetic football pitch at Brookside Recreation Reserve. So that's for council's consideration as it's been presented by myself now in the absence of Councillor Carley. Council would then need to resolve on this, and then when Councillor Carley returns, we can then consider the balance of the Section 223 committee minutes and therefore the adoption of the 2015-2016 council budget.
Okay, so do I have a mover and a seconder for item 14 of the Section 223 of the budget meeting?
You mean recommendation?
A recommendation, sorry.
I would like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Is the recommendation has been moved by Councillor Majerlik, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does anybody oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried. Could we have Councillor Carley return, please?
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. We'll go on with 11.4.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening the minutes of the Section 223 Submissions Committee held on the 2nd of June 2015 Now, with the exclusion of recommendation 14, as it has already been previously determined, and present to Council for consideration the adoption of the 2015-16 budget. Our Council received and reviewed extensively the 2015-2016 draft budget at its ordinary meeting held on the 21st of April 2015 and resolved as an outcome of that meeting to commence a statutory process in regard to publicly exhibiting this draft budget and seeking submissions and hearing those submissions in accordance with Section 223 of the Local Government Act 1989. Following the statutory processes to instigate that, a public submissions meeting was held on the 2nd of June 2015, where Council considered and received 14 written submissions, of which six parties requested to be heard in person and verbally by the Council on that evening. As a result of that meeting on the 2nd of June, Madam Mayor, Council formulated, discussed and formulated 16 recommendations in total, which are set out on pages 105, 106, 107 and finish on page 108, which in totality adopt what was tabled as the draft budget on the 21st of April and set out all the statutory requirements that are needed for this Council to adopt its budget. I'd just like to take this opportunity, Madam Mayor, to advise Council that it's very appreciated by myself and by my staff of the way that Melton's community certainly engaged with the staff and the councillors during this budget process. It was very refreshing. It was very well appreciated by Council staff, and I believe that we've got a very, very great outcome for this budget, and the process itself has been a very enlightening and appreciative one by staff. So with that in mind, Madam Mayor, I table for the Council's consideration the two-part recommendation set on page 100 of this agenda, being that the unconfirmed minutes of the Section 223 Submissions Committee held on 2nd of June 2015 be endorsed by Council, and two, the Council adopts the recommendations as detailed in the minutes of the Section 223 Submissions Committee meeting held on the 2nd of June, tabled as Appendix 1, following consideration of the submissions process. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council seek further clarification? Councillor Madgley.
Yes, Madam Mayor. It seems that capping rates at CPI for local government is inevitable. What is the actual CPI rate at the moment?
CPI.
One. 1.8, I think, was the last indicative figure. It depends what you mean by CPI, though, Councillor. People talk about the underlying rate. They talk about the all households, Melbourne's capital, or the Australian rate, and each capital city has a different rate, but the generally referred to figure at the March quarter was 1.8, I believe.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, just to follow up, the 1.8, is that the rate that the state government's going to be capping the rates at?
It's sort of the one that's generally referred to. I believe in the state budget papers, they were talking 2.5, but and similarly with the federal government in the papers, I believe was 2.5. It's not gospel. I believe that was the indicative rate from the treasuries, but it changes every quarter, so, you know, and it's a lag indicator, not a prospective indicator. Yeah.
You're happy with that response, Councillor?
Yes, I do have another question, though, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Magic.
If this Council was to cap rates at the present CPI rate of, you've suggested, 1.8 or thereabouts, how much would the budget need to be either reduced or further borrowings be undertaken?
Every 1% of rates is approximately $900,000. So for every 1% reduction, you would need to reduce expenditure or substitute another form of income of approximately $900,000. So I do the maths very quickly. Approximately 2.5. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Magic. Any further clarification? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Do we know of any other councils this year's budget that have capped their rates of CPI?
As far as I'm aware, the city of Maribyrnong capped their rates at CPI plus a 2% capital works contribution. So whilst they say they capped their rates at CPI, they're actually 2% over CPI with their rate increase. I guess that could be seen as how you sell the sausage. But it's, I'm not aware of, except Melbourne City Council, it's had, and Melbourne City is a very different beast. It's a capital city.
And I'd like their parking.
Its parking income exceeds our total income. Mm. So it's a very different beast. It has other alternative forms of income. It also has a very significant capital growth rate with current valuations. So it's hard to assess. I'm not aware of any council that has come in at the 1.8, but not all councils have yet made publicly available what their increases are. The majority seem to be between 3 and 5%.
Are you happy with that response? Are there any further clarifications sought? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this, but can I include a dot point 3 that all submitters be informed in writing of the outcome, including the division of this motion?
Okay. Do we have a seconder for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second the motion, and in doing so, just to commend our staff, as Mr. Bean did, for the amount of work they put into this budget for over the last 6 months, and also the councillors who worked hard together to try and find a balanced budget. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have three recommendations before us. It's been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does anyone oppose the motion?
I do. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
I told you we should have left Councillor Cully out then. Sorry. Councillor Cully opposes the motion. We'll go into debate. Councillor Majlik.
Madam Mayor, I support this budget because it is a sound and responsible budget. With over 120 different services that this council provides its residents, this budget is an amazing collaboration between all councillors, council officers and community through the 223 submissions as well as the community budget day. I'll wait until I hear the opposition, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I don't think it's a surprise that I've opposed a budget. I have done so since being elected on this council till since 2012. I'm a firm supporter of capping rates, and I'm very excited that the state government is going to introduce that next year. I think that that's the only way that our residents can have some financial relief. We all know that there's residents out there that are struggling, and 4.4% rate increase might not seem a lot to some, but I can tell you that it will hurt and our residents will feel the pinch. It's not an easy decision because when I look at the budget 223 submissions and I see some of the projects and some of the initiatives, I do agree that they should be funded. I agree that the Sydenham Hillside Cricket Club should have their turf. I agree that Caroline Springs should. I agree that there should be the pedestrian crossing over in Taylor's Hill for the children across there, and it's unsafe at the moment. But I do believe that we can still achieve all those projects and cap the rates for our residents. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be brief. I just don't know how we could cap the rates and still deliver not only our services. Is that, Cathy, 190-something services we deliver? And all the capital works as well in the budget. I don't have to go through all of it, but he's got a copy there. In page 116, you can see a list of the capital works alone in our budget. If any brave person would tell me which ones to take out, I'd love to make it a frozen budget as well, but it's just not possible. We as a council have to deliver a balanced budget that we feel comfortable as we can be with it. There's always pain, Nobody wants, I mean, I don't want rate rises. I'm sure nobody in the gallery wants rate rises. But I think our community understands that with a growing municipality as we've got, we need finances to cover that. And with the state government and federal government cutting funding all every other day, we will never keep up. We'll be going backwards. And I don't believe that we will be hamstrung next year when we do get, I believe we will have an allowance, because I don't think anybody would expect Melton City Council to strike a rate of under 2%. I still see next year will be above that rate. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Well, then. And I only rise because I can't avoid a debate. Everybody's greatest asset, apart from their families, is probably the investment they make into their home. Everybody likes to see their home continue to grow in value. And at times, local government, the only form of revenue we get is from our rates, which is structured on the valuation of people's homes. At the end of the day, we need to provide quality services that our community can't do without, and also infrastructure to meet the needs of our growing community. It's said that Melton will outstrip most communities over the next 20, 30, 40 years, will be bigger than Wyndham, and we'll, whether we're the fastest growing, we'll definitely be one of the largest. We're on the fringe, so we're still considered interface. We've still got roughly 70% of our land, even though it's going through PSBs, is still marked, you know, it was marked as rural. It hasn't got houses on there yet. There's going to be an incredible amount of key infrastructure that's needed to service these communities. There's a lot of debate around what should and shouldn't go into a budget. And yes, I did notice that most of the items that you mentioned were in the Eastern Corridor. There's a lot that's required in the township as well. And that's what priorities, and that's what the difference and the debate between needs and wants is all about. When it comes to a rate capping, the Essential Services Commission is still working hard on that. I don't think there's one council that out of the 79 that has supported this proposal, not one. There may be councillors, individual councillors that are supporting that, but I believe firmly that when council sits down, they take into consideration our community's ability to pay and what our community is wanting us to deliver in quality services and infrastructure into the future. And I think this is a very responsible budget. At the moment, whilst everybody's debating about whether it's 1.8, 1.7, 1.5 or 1% CPI, let them keep debating that. We'll keep focused on the job at hand and we'll deliver the services we need for our community. Okay, now the mover for the for the motion was Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour? Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have. Sorry, Councillor Majlik. You should have called a point.
I wouldn't have let you get off that easy.
You should have called a point of order on, Madam Mayor. You've got the right of reply, love.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Is every councillor finished?
Yes.
Speaking?
Oh, Councillor, I did ask if any other councillor wanted to speak.
No, you didn't. I don't recall that. But
I did before I stood up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you. Madam Mayor, I have residents tell me they are happy with the services that this council delivers for them. They see the great work that this council does for our community, the positive outcomes we have for our residents, and they are proud to call Melton City their home. To be against this budget, our community needs to know that what they are basically saying is that they do not support the projects and services that this whole budget delivers. Projects such as the Taylor's Hill pedestrian crossing at Calder Park, installed to make the lives
Madam
of our
Mayor,
residents, particularly
can I point
children,
of order, please, Madam Mayor. Councillor Maylick speculating what residents are going to think. She's only stating her opinion. It's not what residents actually are thinking. Do you know that for sure, Councillor Maylick?
Councillor Carley, that wasn't what Councillor Maylick was saying.
Please, well, that's how I was understanding it.
Please allow her to continue. Opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To be against this budget, our community needs to know what Councillor Carley is basically saying is that she does not support the projects and services that are in this budget and what it delivers to our community, such as the Taylor's Hill pedestrian crossing at Calder Park, installed to make the lives of our children and residents safer. To be against this budget is saying that you do not support the installation of the turf wicket pitches both at Hillside Recreation Reserve for the Sydenham Hillside Cricket Club as well as the Caroline Springs Cricket Club.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to call a point of order again, because that's not what I said, and if Councillor Maylick did listen to me, I did say that I did support those, but I believe that they could still be delivered while capping rates. Did she want me to repeat that?
Thank you, you have clarified your position. Madam Mayor, am I out of order?
No.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll continue. To be against this budget, what you are saying is that you do not support the Edible Harvest Community Garden that will provide a great opportunity for our residents to come together and learn how to grow their own food. It also means that you do not support the Burnside Community Centre, an early years facility, an integral part of the children's early development. For without this budget being supported, our community would not benefit from the many services and capital infrastructure that it will most certainly deliver. No one likes to pay rates, Madam Mayor. What we have achieved together with our community and their feedback and collaboration with this budget and the outcomes that it will have for our community will be a legacy worth being proud of. If the budget is not supported by a particular councillor, can that councillor be asked that they agree to have their name revoked from any accolades, plaques or council acknowledgements?
Thank you, Councillor Maylick. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Maylick, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? All those against? I need to seek clarification. Do we need to call a division or not? No.
Madam Mayor, previously towards my... Madam Mayor, no division needs to be called as my notice of motion previously has an automatic... instance of a call for division.
Okay. Madam Mayor, the automatic division is on notices of motion, not on motions before council.
Then I call for a division.
Councillor Maylick has called for a division. All those in favour? Councillor Maylick, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner, Councillor Ramsay. All those against? Councillor Carley. The motion's carried. Thank you. Item number 11.5, Community Services Capacity and Attraction Framework. Mr Heaney to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be as quick as I can with this one because it is a very large document, but I'll do my best. The reasoning for this document was to keep pace with rapid growth and population growth in our new and residential communities. And they have created significant demand for council and local community services organisations overall. And that means provision. Providing services to the existing community and growing number of new residents is an ongoing challenge for us as a council and, of course, the service sector. And we share that along with the service sector. In particular, the interface councils are recognised as being under-resourced when it comes to matching service demand to identified community need. As outlined in our council plan, which is from 2013-17, council is committed to supporting the provision of accessible, affordable and relevant community services, both now and into the future. Over the past 18 months, several community services have either been expanded in the city or commenced or providing services within the city. And some examples of that are highlighted on page 220. And the Ambulatory Care Centre is a good example of that, where Council has been heavily partnered with Jerrawarra Health in advocating for additional services, not just the building alone, but the services that will occupy.
We're also in conversations with Scope in early intervention services of having accommodation within this city so they can expand their services and have a home. And Autism Plus, the former Reg Geary nursing home, we've seen some great outcomes there with additional respite and disability services coming into the city, and on it goes, and we'll continue to advocate for that. The background paper appended to this report, which is the Community Service Capacity and Attraction Framework document, a mouthful, underpins the framework itself, of course. The background paper analyses a range of data and sources and incorporates consultation and outcomes received from the service sector. The framework itself aims to support decision makers, not necessarily us, to explore opportunities for development and a coordinated action in improving access to services for citizens. It reflects two aspects of community and attraction, recognising the separate yet elements of each aspect. The framework identifies six main target areas with a number of opportunities for action and, of course, shared responsibility. The target areas are identified on page 221 that helps us monitor and implement the document. Also want to, I thought it's worthwhile, councillors talking about the consultation process in developing this document. And development of this document, the officers established a engagement program where over 100 community service organisations and representatives came to this council and was a half-day forum held back in December 2014. Had over 19 attendees. In addition, the sector surveys were also undertaken. Draft documents were widely circulated after this consultation process. The process was seen positive by external service organisations, positive from the state, positive from health organisations, and very positive from an officer's point of view. The document will assist us in attracting community service organisations, hopefully, and will help us be more robust in having those conversations or dialogue with those organisations. So the document is appended. I won't go into that, councillors. The recommendations are, of course, to endorse the Community Services Capacity and Attraction Framework presented in Appendix 1, and also just to note the background paper, which is a fair document in itself, as reference in Appendix 2. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. The recommendation before us, councillors. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor, and also commend officers and the team for doing such a great piece of work.
Thank you, Councillor Madgley. The recommendation has been moved by Councillor Madgley and
second that motion.
By Councillor Bentley. Okay, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Madgley, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does anybody oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move on to 11.6, BCAT decision on application to amend planning permit number PA 2012/3458 at 171 to 197 Harkness Road, Melton South. It's going to be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This proposal relates to a site which is located on the eastern side of Harkness Road, about 200 metres north of Gibling Lane in Melton. The land has an area of about 10.5 hectares and is currently occupied by a dwelling and a number of outbuildings. Back in July 2012, Council issued a temporary permit for the land to be developed with a place of worship. The permit contained a number of conditions, including restricting the life of the permit to 5 years, and also restricting the use to Wednesdays and Friday evenings and Sunday mornings, which was as requested by the applicants at the time. The current applicant, who's contracted to purchase the land, now wants to construct a mosque on the land. An application was made to Council to amend the condition in the permit to enable the use to operate between 5 a.m. and 11 p.m. 7 days a week. So essentially the hours of operation increased from 9 hours a week to about 26 hours a week. That application was considered and refused by council essentially on the grounds that the increase in hours would detrimentally affect the amenity of the surrounding residents in the area. So the applicant subsequently sought a review of council's refusal, which was heard by VCAT in February this year, and VCAT has decided that the amenity impacts are not unreasonable and has directed that the amended permit be issued. Essentially, the main issues that were considered by VCAT related to things like amenity, biodiversity and traffic. However, VCAT found in relation to those that they weren't fatal to the application. In fact, in relation to traffic, it's interesting to note that VCAT has in fact imposed a condition on the planning permit that requires the applicant to actually fund the construction of the unsealed section of Harkness Road between the subject land and Hardy's Lane, and that's a spray seal to the satisfaction of the council. So, in relation to, I guess, the officer's perspective on the decision, it's worth noting that the establishment of urban-type uses, such as places of worship, is becoming a real issue for council in the rural areas, particularly in the Northern Green Wedge, where we seem to be getting a proliferation of uses like places of worship. This issue has been specifically identified, and council's adopted Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan, which has only recently been adopted by council. The management plan recommends that a local policy be prepared and incorporated into the planning scheme that identifies preferred locations for these sorts of uses, and also incorporates specific site design and environmental enhancement requirements. So it's proposed that this policy be prepared by officers in the next 12 to 18 months to assist council in the assessment of these types of uses. And when included in the scheme, the document will also be relevant to VCAT's consideration of any future applications. So, Madam Mayor, it's essentially recommended that council note the decision of VCAT in this case. Thank you.
Does any councillor seek further clarification? Can I seek further clarification, seeing I wasn't present last week when this was discussed? 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. How many people would be going to... How loud would it get at 5 a.m. in the morning? And how could that not impact on the amenity of the surrounding areas? Not that we can refute a VCAT decision. And can I have the phone number of the person who adjudicated at VCAT so I can forward the complaints to them?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if I can take you to page 270 of the council report, which basically has a summary of the amenity considerations, and in effect, VCAT's considered that the use is appropriate from an amenity perspective because the place of worship is fairly moderate in size. The area isn't a residential area. It's essentially a rural residential type area. So it's considered that the volume of traffic that would be generated by the use wouldn't cause an unnecessary nuisance, if you like, to residents in the area based on the volume of traffic.
Sorry, and most of the noise would be contained within the mosque?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you.
Clarification, please, Madam.
Yes, certainly.
I'm just clarifying the hours. I think, Bob, it says there are 26 hours. The effect proposed to increase the place of worship use from a maximum of 9 hours to 26 hours.
That's correct, yes.
Well, unless my maths is getting really bad, from 5 a.m. in the morning to 11 p.m. at night, 7 days a week, is 126 hours, not 26 hours. 26 hours would be great. It's about 126 hours. I don't know. Is it just a typo, or am I...
Or was it 26 hours a day?
On this.
Looks like it might be a typo.
Typo.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
If there are no further clarification, is there a mover for the recommendation, which is just merely to note the VCAT decision?
Sorry, Madam Mayor, is that going to be amended in the report, the 126 hours instead of...
I could clarify. So, is there a mover?
Madam Mayor, for transparency, I'll recommend that Council note the VCAT decision.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. That was very brave. Is there a seconder?
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor, although I don't agree with VCAT's decision. However, it is just to note what has happened.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. I think we're all in agreement there. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Majlik. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion carried. Thank you. We go from good news to good news. Okay, 11.7, VCAT decision on application for planning permit number PA 2014/4444 to Glen Capel Court Hillside. Mr. Bob Edger to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So in this case, the site's located on the western side of Glen Capel Court in Hillside. The site currently contains a double-storey dwelling and garage and has an area of approximately 900 square metres. In August 2014, the council refused the planning application for the construction of a second dwelling on the site, essentially on the basis that the proposal was contrary to a single dwelling covenant affecting the site, and it was also considered by officers that the proposal was out of character with the surrounding area. So an earlier planning application to vary the covenant to facilitate the second dwelling was refused by council after submission of objections from beneficiaries to the covenant. That's people that are also, other people that are also affected by the covenant in the surrounding area. So in October 2014, VCAT determined that a permit would be issued for the variation of the covenant, despite the two objections received, which was, I must admit, a bit of a surprise to officers. So this enabled VCAT then to determine the subsequent application for the second dwelling, which it did at a hearing on the 23rd of April this year. And on the 5th of May this year, the tribunal directed that a permit be issued for the proposal. Now, in summary, VCAT found, I guess, that it considered that the proposed development basically would not significantly change the current character of the neighbourhood. It also considered that the dwelling was of a relatively small scale and therefore would not overwhelm or dominate the street or other dwellings in the street. It also found that there was sufficient car parking provided on site and that the increase in car parking generated by an additional dwelling wouldn't affect traffic concerns or safety in the area, and that the construction of a second dwelling also meets council's policy framework for housing in the planning scheme. So from an officer perspective, Madam Mayor, we consider that there's a number of disappointing aspects to this VCAT decision. Firstly, that the member who determined the proposal was the same member who determined the review for the variation of the covenant. It's considered that for the sake of transparency, it would have been more appropriate to have a different member, particularly taking into account the member's support for the covenant variation, which in effect facilitated the consideration of the proposal for the second dwelling. So we considered that in future, where a similar situation arises, then council should write to the tribunal requesting that a different member hear the case. Further, officers consider or continue to remain of the view that the proposal is out of character with the surrounding area and poorly located at the edge of the existing urban area, some distance from the closest activity centre and community facilities. I suppose it's important to note that Council is currently in the process of preparing a housing character assessment and design guidelines. It's expected that with the approval and incorporation of this document sometime later this year, or maybe incorporation next year, that VCAT will give greater consideration to neighbourhood character issues within the established urban areas of the municipality. So again, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council note the VCAT decision in this case. Thank you.
Does any Council seek further clarification? Councillor Majdlik.
Madam Mayor, on page 291, the proposed dwelling and the existing dwelling, is there any space in between the garage and the actual dwelling? And this was approved by VCAT.
Through you, Madam Mayor, as you can see on page 291, the proposed garage actually adjoins the existing garage. So, they're quite close.
Councillor Turner?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd just like to highlight this being a shocking decision, and it's just one of many shocking decisions that come out of VCAT on a regular basis. And I'd like to ask Bob a question at the same time regarding option number 7. It says VCAT's decision is final. Council considers that there has been an error in the law, in which case an application for review can be made to the Supreme Court. However, it is not considered to be the case here. So that means basically if we objected, Bob, we wouldn't have any chance of winning anyway.
For you, Madam Mayor, I believe that to be the case here. There has to be a demonstrated error in law in relation to the decision made by the tribunal. If it's just a difference of opinion from a planning perspective, that's really not enough to take it to the Supreme Court.
Madam Mayor, just a clarification. VCAT overrode the covenant in this particular case. Did that mean overall in that whole area?
No.
They overrode the covenant or just in this case?
For you, Madam Mayor, just in this particular case.
Mr. Badger, in that regard, does that mean covenants are basically worthless when you've got VCAT people out there being able to overrule them whenever they choose to? Because we work by one set of rules and they obviously seem to be a law unto themselves.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the provisions of the Act when it comes to covenants is fairly complex, but essentially there's two different sections of the Act relating to covenants, and they relate to the date of the covenant. So any covenant that was basically created before 1991 has a lot, the hurdle, if you like, to be able to get approval even from VCAT is a lot higher than those covenants that were created after 1991. So it really depends on the date of the covenant as to whether VCAT would support the application on the basis of where there's been objections from beneficiaries.
So the longer the covenant's been there, the more likely it is to be upheld.
Correct, yes.
What qualifications do those that are hearing these VCAT submissions have? I'm just curious.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Madam Mayor, they're generally town planners.
They are.
Yeah, these days.
Or lawyers. Well, wonders never cease. Sorry. We have a recommendation before us, councillors, similar to the recommendation just prior, that council note the VCAT decision. Is there a mover and a seconder for that recommendation? Councillor Carley?
Madam Mayor, I am disappointed with the VCAT decision, but I will move the recommendation that council note the VCAT decision.
Thank you, Councillor Carley, and that was terribly brave.
And considering my fellow councillors took a hit on the last one, I'll second this motion again. Note that the decision is quite upsetting and very disappointing to see.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the decision?
The motion.
The motion, sorry. Thank you. The motion's carried.
Madam Mayor, could I just say a few words about this motion?
Certainly.
And the previous? Can I commend the officers for including, this has never been done, I don't believe, since I've been on this council, to include VCAT decisions. I'm glad that this is included because many times our residents think that it was council that has allowed this to happen. So it's great in regards to transparency that they can see that it's not council in these two cases. It was actually VCAT overturning council. So can I commend the officers for including this in the agenda?
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. We will now, Councillor, 11.8's been blocked, done, so we're now on to 11.9, and Mr Tory will guide us through this report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council of the results from the Local Government Community Satisfaction Survey, coordinated by the Department of Environment, Land, Water Planning on behalf of Victorian Councils. Council has for a number of years now participated in this survey, and the results for 2015 are indeed encouraging, with significantly improved index scores on the three core performance measures compared to last year's outcome. Pleasingly, the overall performance increased by 4 points to 63, placing Council ahead of the interface group average of 62, albeit marginal, and the statewide average of 60. This year, an additional question was also included in relation to sealed local roads, that's not previously appeared on the survey, and the score Council achieved in this area was 62, which is statistically significantly ahead of the statewide average of 55. So that was a pleasing outcome also. The key findings from this year's survey were that the overall performance index improved, as I stated, the advocacy index improved, which is pleasing to note given the significant outcomes Council has achieved in funding programs in the last 18 months, 2 years. Also, community consultation, acknowledging some significant changes in Council's endeavours to engage with the community. We've been quite creative in that field. And also in making community decisions. So improvements in all of those are very pleasing to note. It's also noted that customer service, whilst it has fallen slightly, did achieve the highest index score of any of the specific elements at 70, and it was also noted that the number of surveyed residents who had actually made contact with council over the last 12 months had dropped from 61% to 54%, which is quite significant. Council this year also resolved to undertake a household customer satisfaction survey, the results of which were reported to council at the March meeting. And the difference with that survey is this local government one is a phone survey and to 400 residents. The council conducted one was door-to-door interviewing, so in-person interviewing, and it had a sample size of 800 households, so therefore a much stronger element, coefficient of certainty in terms of the outcomes. And that survey actually, whilst having a similar outcome to the local government one, was even stronger in terms of community assessment of council's ongoing performance. So, Madam Mayor, the recommendation to council is to note the results of the Local Government Community Satisfaction Survey 2015 and for council officers to make arrangements for a briefing to be provided by the firm JWS Research to assist council in the interpretation of the results.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Does any council seek further clarification on the recommendation? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor, and just note that although Melton City Council has room for improvement, however, on almost all fronts, we are doing better than the interface councils, other interface councils, and the state average. But as I said, there is room for improvement.
Thank you, Councillor Majerlik. With the recommendations then moved by Councillor Majerlik, is there a seconder?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion before Council now has been moved by Councillor Majerlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Now, Mr Tory, myself have to leave the chamber, and Councillor Turner will come and take the chair, please. Are you going to bring your folder?
Should have brought my training wheels tonight. Anyway, item 11.1, Mr Bean, please.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I'm very conscious of not calling you Madam Mayor, so I've got through that okay. Let's move on to the report. Thank you, Councillor Turner. I present the Council report in regard to an invitation the Council has received from the UNESCO Institute of Lifelong Learning to have Melton City Council delegation attend the second international conference to be held in Mexico City on the 28th to the 30th of September 2015. Council is a partner city in the UNESCO Global Network Learning Cities and has received an invitation to attend the conference just mentioned. The conference agenda features a UNESCO Institute of Lifelong Learning case study on Melton and the ACELG framework, which also features Melton. There are also a section in the agenda to promote collaboration amongst mayors of learning cities, and given Councillor Ramsey, our current mayor's role as chair of the Community Learning Board, this could be considered of some benefit to council. Council was the first Victorian local authority to adopt a community learning plan and has been proactive in the lifelong learning space over an extended period. This includes hosting the National Learning Communities Conference in 2012, the theme of which was Learning the New Economy. In more recent times, the Learning Board contributed significantly to the Australian Centre of Excellence for Local Government's publication Learning Community Framework and Measuring Impact Toolkit, which is now available on their website. The Measuring Impact Toolkit has also been designed as a practical resource, providing templates for planning, reporting and checklists, and the Australian examples of community learning plans. The official launch of the report will occur at the conference in conjunction with the paper Collective Impact Assessment Tool, authored by Dr. Shanti Wong and our own Peter Blunden, Council's Lifelong Learning Coordinator, which is also to be published on the International Lifelong Learning website and is the subject of Mr. Blunden's presentation at a current conference in Korea, which, if he hasn't returned from, he is just about to return from. And this is the second conference internationally that he has presented at. The cost of attendance per person at the Mexico conference, Councillor Turner, is approximately $4,450 per person. Attendance at the conference, we believe, will build on relationships with member councils and can be used to begin a process of facilitating international business delegations, sharing learning on sustainability and cultural exchanges. The learning cities movement is especially strong in Asia, and Melton is therefore well placed in the Asia Pacific region to take advantage of opportunities that can arise from participating in such things as this Global Learning Cities Network. The recommendation printed on page 310, Councillor Turner, sets out a request that Council determine the appropriate delegation to represent Melton City at the second International Conference on Learning Cities in Mexico from the 28th to the 30th of September 2015. To assist Council in making this determination, in item 7 on page 311 in the options section, there are, I suppose, five scenarios in regard to Council's deliberation of this matter. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council require further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Majerlik.
On page 311 under 4, financial considerations, what does this cost would be accommodated within recurrent budget mean?
Through you, Councillor Turner, to Councillor Majerlik, we believe that we can accommodate it within the current standing operating budget of the Council.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any other councillor require further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the recommendation and under seven options go for D, approve Mayor Councillor Ramsey, CEO Cal Torrey and Lifelong Learning Officer Peter Blunden to attend the conference.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just trying to get my thoughts. Yeah, I've got it. I've got it twice already. That's good. Does anyone oppose the motion?
I'd like to oppose that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fowler. We're going to debate.
Yes.
Councillor Medlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry. First of all, what a fantastic achievement for this council to be the first Victorian local authority to adopt a community learning plan. That needs to be noted first and foremost. Mr. Mayor, I'm in support of this because our Mayor is also the Chair of the Community Learning Board, so it's quite befitting that she attends. Having the Mayor, the Chair of the Learning Board, the CEO and our Lifelong Learning Officer is most appropriate to attend this conference. It's time Melton City Council proactively leads on the international level of lifelong learning.
Thank you, Councillor Malik. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I was going to call you Madam Mayor.
I don't have Mikhail on tonight.
Sorry. I've opposed this motion as I look at $4,450 per attendee. I know that many of my other fellow councillors have attended conferences, and I don't agree with that. I never have. I don't believe that we should be wasting ratepayers' money on junkets. There's been many times that it's been reported in The Age and The Herald Sun of how many times or how much money councillors have spent. I've never once heard a report come back to this council on any councillor that's attended a conference saying what the benefits were to our community. What were the benefits? We still don't know. I don't believe that the Mayor should go. I don't believe that our CEO should go. I do, however, support Peter Blunden to attend. He is a lifelong learning officer and he is the one who has been working on this and he is best to represent the City of Melton. I do not support the Mayor or the CEO to attend this conference. I don't believe that there's any need and I believe that it's just a waste of ratepayers' money.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any other council wish to speak? Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support the comments made by Councillor Majelik and further note that there is a case study on Melton. It sees that the world is recognising Melton and we need a presence there. There's no use in the world accepting and looking at Melton and nobody being there to present Melton. And unfortunately, the best people to present Melton is our elected official, our Mayor. And in the efforts of learning and developing our community, I think our CEO and Peter Blunden should be there. I don't think this is a junket. I think this is quite a good learning experience to develop our community. And some comments made by my fellow councillor, Councillor Carley, I think that as councils we need to ensure that reports are made and we do learn from this instead of just having the money spent. We need to make sure that we follow up on that. Thank you.
Councillor Bentley. I'd just like to say that there's not many of these trips that our council actually funds. We do knock back a lot of this type of expediency. But I believe it's very important to engage at all levels of government, and if we can engage locally and internationally, it can only go well for our community. And I'd reiterate what Councillor Bentley said. It's such an important time. It's important for our community to be represented, and who better to represent the council, apart from Mr. Blunden, than our Mayor and our CEO. Thank you. Councillor Medley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that there will be a great opportunity for this council to improve the way we do things as well as have our Mayor learn from other mayors on an international level. There is already funds there for learning and development. This is an This is an opportunity that our mayor, both our mayor, the CEO and the officer will greatly benefit from. And I do oppose what Councillor Carley has said. I have attended many conferences and have presented when it was the councillor's time to discuss their what they've done on events. So I refutely oppose what she has said. It's not true. I have presented, and so has other councillors have presented when they have attended MAV development weekends or MAV workshops. I believe it's an investment, and I believe that Councillor Carley should re-look at how she looks at things of learning in the council, further teaching and further development. It's a very important aspect of a councillor's job, I think, is to further learn in how we do conduct ourselves and how we conduct our ways in council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. All those in favour of the motion? All those against the motion? I declare the motion carried.
And I'd like to ask for a division.
Yes, please.
Call for division. Those for the motion, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner. Against the motion, Councillor Carley. Thank you. I declare division carried.
We've got four councillors.
Through, Mr. Chair, to the member of the gallery, no, you just need to have a majority of council voting on the matter.
Thank you, councillors. We'll go straight into reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. Who would like to, Councillor Majlik, would you like to commence?
These are the committees, right, Madam Mayor?
They are.
Just checking. Madam Mayor, I attended the Disability Advisory Committee, which the minutes are in attached to tonight's agenda, but I just wanted to highlight two things. First, the great efforts of one of our long-standing committee members who has been with the DAC, the Disability Advisory Committee, for the last 9 years and is sadly leaving the committee. Her name is Michelle Gimeno. I thank her for her contributions to the committee. Her input has been invaluable to our committee, and I wish her and her family all the very best. I wanted to also convey the feedback from some of our community members who sit on the Disability Advisory Committee on the fantastic job that this council had done on the execution of the Melton Business and Excellence Awards. They had nothing but glowing reports and wanted to express their gratitude to Ola, to Neil, Michael Tudbull and the Economic Development Team for a great job well done.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor.
Oh, sorry, Madam Mayor. Western Base meeting, sorry. The Western Base officially had its welcomed its first CEO. Congratulations goes to Mr. Mark Corrie, who was appointed as CEO by the board. I am sure that Mark will do an exceptional job ensuring that the base takes off and that he will promote economic and business benefits for our community as well as the whole of the West. We also discussed the 2015-2016 draft budget for the base, and a big congratulations to the base for winning the Environmental Sustainability Award at the Keep Australia Beautiful Awards, a great accolade for a great building. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
And that is it for me. Thank you, Councillor Majorly. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 27th of May, I attended the Youth Council meeting. We had some extra kids there that day because we had the Widom Project representatives there who were speaking to our youth committee about what they do and what the program is about. And on the 18th of June, Madam Mayor, I attended the Early Years Partnership Committee meeting. We had Ryan James from 1D Forecast who presented a very interesting local data program, and I'm sure that you would agree to us. We had Beth Sutcliffe from the Salvation Army, who spoke to us in regards to early intervention and prevention. And we also had Sarah Grace present with us with an update on healthy children growing together. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
No, you can do that. Madam Mayor, on the 15th of June, I've probably got my dates mixed up, it doesn't matter. 15th of June, I attended the Arts and Culture Committee, and one of the sad items on the agenda was the deaccessioning. That was good for me getting that. Of the Commonwealth Mosaic at Hanawatts Park. It's been there since 2000. Is it 2000, Madam Mayor, or
2006?
2006. I thought I was wrong. Anyway, I was right, I was wrong. Unfortunately, it hasn't been well protected, and it's got a lot of water damage that's going to have to be taken down and taken away. We had discussion on the public art strategy draft, also the biennial mayoral sculpture award updates. That's something that's coming up soon, and the Raglan Art Studio artists. On the 22nd of June, I attended the Leisure Advisory Committee. Unfortunately, we didn't have a quorum, but there was a lot of good discussion on the night about the athletics, hockey facility, the outdoor gym equipment that's just been put in Caroline Springs and Navan Park, and the Arnold Street Reserve tennis courts and pavilion. And also there was discussion over the sports and sports clubs alcohol accord signing. They had a sports club alcohol accord and that was good, wasn't it?
Now wheel in the wrecker. Come on.
This one's been broken anyway. Never mind. Don't really need the microphone anyway. Anyway, we'll move on. Committees. Arts and Culture Committee we did. Metropolitan Waste Management Committee on the 11th of the 6th. It was a very busy night, but the two main things in the evening was discussion on improving resource recovery in multi-unit developments, or MUDs as they call them, and how to make them work. Hopefully we don't get too many of them in our city. And a briefing on a paper on Emissions Reduction Fund. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Bentley, getting keen to go on any of these committees?
I'm waiting to be appointed.
I know, but any of them taking your fancy as yet?
They all take my fancy.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Okay, the following meetings I attended, the Policy Review Panel, the minutes are attached, the Interface Council with our CEO, Calvin Torrey, the Early Years Partnership with Councillor Carley gave a report on, and the ALGA conference, which I'll be discussing in the next part of the agenda. Thank you. Okay, item 13, Councillor representation acknowledgements. The record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989. Do I have a mover and a seconder for the recommendation contained within?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation that the record of Assembly of Councillors attached to this agenda be received and noted.
The recommendation before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Now we will move on to public address by each councillor. I'll start again in the same order. Councillor Majlik.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The men's shed on the 28th of May, what a great opening this was. The men's shed finally opened its doors for the men in our community, particularly in the Eastern Corridor, however, to all our members of the community as well. The interest in the shed and its programs and the attendance was absolutely amazing. The reason why this project is so great is because it's a relatively small capital outlay compared to the short and long-term benefits of the participants as well as the broader community. I also, as with my fellow councillors, attended section 223, and I thank all the residents and community groups who participated in this special meeting. It's great to hear feedback from our community about the council's budget and what projects they would like to see in the community. I also attended an eye care community group meeting, which that group actually supports children with special needs, their parents and families. They are doing an absolutely fantastic job and providing much needed support in the area of disability in our local community. And Madam Mayor, I know I have mentioned this, but seeing as who's just walked into our chamber, can I just say, going back to the Disability Advisory Committee, that I've received feedback on the fantastic job that this council had done on the execution of the Melton Business and Excellence Awards. They had nothing but glowing reports and wanted to express their gratitude to Ola, Tennille, Michael Tudbull and the whole economic team, economic development team, for a job well done. And thank you for indulging me in that. But as we've got a special guest in our gallery, I thought I'd just double mention that.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. And the special guest is our Manager for Advocacy and Economic Development. Is that right? It's Economic Development and Advocacy, Mr. Michael Tudbull. Welcome, Michael. You were trying to hide, but I could see you. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 28th of May, I also attended the Taylor's Hill Men's Shed opening. I also attended the Section 223. I won't go into too much detail because Councillor Matlick's already touched on a lot of it. And on the 17th of June, I attended the launch of the new Caroline Springs Hillside Rotary Club, Madam Mayor, with yourself. That was a great evening. And I would just like to take this opportunity, if I could also, just to inform residents of the sad passing of George Seats. George was the local MP for the seat of Keilor for 28 years. He did some great work for the western suburbs that will always be remembered. So, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's two events that I'd like to talk about this month. The first being the share event at Caroline Springs Library. I'd love to remember the date it was on, but I can't for the life of me at the moment. The 4th of this month. It was great to be able to hand out so many cheques to so many great community projects. There's a lot of people doing some great work out there, and to be able to support them and help volunteers deliver great initiatives into the community that only benefit our residents was a great event. The second event that I'd like to talk about was the Sustainable Cities Awards and the Keep Australia Beautiful Awards, the Keep Australia Beautiful Sustainable Cities Awards, where our great city was nominated for 4 awards and we were lucky enough to take home 2. It's great to see the work that council, its officers and its community are doing to beautify the city that we live in. And I take this opportunity, Madam Mayor, to present one of those awards that we won, the Community Government Partnership Award, which went to Melton Leeds, Empowering Our Community, which is a great initiative to reduce our footprint that we use through our electricity, through replacing LED lights and training our citizens to better use their energy. So I present this to you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Turner.
I'll have you promise I might want to attack me this time. Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 27th of May, I attended the Fatality Free Friday, where I signed my pledge to keep the roads safe. Well, I said, well, stay off the roads, I'll keep them safer. And I'd like to mention Mia Pendlebury for all the work she did for council. She put together a great day. I believe a lot of it was on her shoulders. On the 27th of May, I attended the launch of Melton City Council Reconciliation Plan, along with fellow councillors White Butterflies Day, Bullen Bullen. On the 28th, I attended the shed in Taylor's Hill with many of my councillors. And on the Thursday night, I've got here, we've got the date on, no, it was Thursday night, the June 4th, was the night of the share, which Councillor Bentley spoke of well, regarding giving out grants to the community. But we also on that night had a special guest, a keynote speaker, Jim Dyers. I say Dyers because it's spelled the wrong way around for me. Yeah, Jim Dyers, and he was a really inspirational on the night, and I'd suggest that next time he comes back to Australia, and I believe he comes often from America, that we should book him for the staff and get them in front of him. He's such an inspirational man. So that was a great night, and special thanks for the night for Dana Prates, Acting Officer of Community Funding, Kate McCluskey, Acting Community Coordinator Capacity. On the 12th of the 6th, along with Councillor Ransley, Councillor Bentley and Councillor Dunn, I also attended the Show Your Beautiful Victoria Sustainable Cities Award, and we did pick up a second award, which was for Western Business Accelerator. It's 6-star Green Star. It won the Environmental Sustainability Award. So it was quite a good night, having two awards in one night. And Madam Mayor did a good job and she went up and accepted them. On the 12th of the 6th, along with Madam Mayor, we visited Melton South, the Community Centre, which is looking good now since the renovation. And we put together, we did a little bit of a mosaic, which is the Melton South sign down at the Community Centre. And before Sophie tells somebody, I'll tell you, I managed to get my elbow in the glue, so she's bound to mention it. And thanks to Alicia Constantino for the work she's doing with the Jerawal Health Services as the Health Promotions Coordinator. As everybody knows, 15th to the 19th was Men's Health Week, and that was a very busy week for council staff. I attended the Blokes Healthy Breakfast, where everybody had breakfast, and they had a few people from Jerawar Health there, and they took blood pressure and all the different tests. I shouldn't have gone. Certainly not on the machines. I also attended the men's only gym activity at Navin Park when we put in the new equipment. That's looking fantastic, so any of the guys out there and the girls, you should get out there and have a go around Navin Park and Lake Caroline where they've got the new equipment. It's, I think it's money well spent. And I attended the Refugee Week lunch. I'll leave Madam Mayor to speak about that. Thank you.
Okay. Now I've got a page and a half of things to go through, and I'll go through really quickly. In this regard, I think I've thrown myself into council work to stop even thinking about my mum. So let's have it. Fertility Free Friday, Bob's thanked Mia and Jan. Taylor's Hill Men's Shed official opening. Can the girls and the guys not do, they can put on a presentation like you wouldn't believe. The scones down there were sensational. No one has mentioned the scones. The boys were in their aprons baking all morning and they were fantastic. Apart from that, they've already got a number of partnerships happening for the men's shed down there, and it was a great launch. So thank you to all those concerned. I snuck into the morning tea at Digger's Rest, so thank you very much, Mr. O'Connor, for having me down at the Houdini Cafe. And I think there was 1,100 and something raised. Is that right? 1,135. Job well done. Had a meeting with the Sugarga Temple representatives, and I apologise, Councillor Turner, I didn't know at the time that you wanted to meet with them too. We walked around the Melton Botanic Gardens for Reconciliation Week, and that was an insight. The amount of work that's been done on a lot of those beds and areas is it's transforming into something absolutely fantastic. We launched the Multicultural Family Sports Day. They were out playing soccer and volleyball, and that was an 8:30 start for me on a Saturday morning, and I think I nearly fell out of bed. I was interviewed by Sarah Jane Singh for her thesis on in local government. We also attended the Section 223 budget submissions. But please, folks, again, let's not wait till the last minute to get your submissions in. Get them in early so they can be part of the process. The annual share event, Dana and Matt, I think there could be a few things that could be tweaked, but apart from that, Mr. Heaney, I thought everything went well. But you know how much I like my photos, so come on. The World Environment Day, the energy efficiency training, we had a session on that, and we also had a grants presentation. So there was lots happening on that Friday. I don't go by dates, I just follow my nose. The Bollywood annual dinner dance, I couldn't get my sister out of there. I was only going to go and make a guest appearance at 11:45 while I was dragging her out by her hair. She wants to go again next year, so good luck. It was a great night. We also had a presentation from one of our staff members, little boys, on road safety at that night too. Medical students, all doctors from overseas, came on a tour of Melton from Monash University, and Cal and Mr. Heaney, with myself present, were able to give them a spiel about Melton City Council. Yes, I did attend the Mosaic workshop with Councillor Turner, and yes, he didn't do a lot of work. He was too busy charming the ladies. And that's why he got his elbow stuck in some glue. We had a meeting with the Caroline Springs Football Club, and they are so grateful for Council's continued support. Keep Australia Beautiful. Where do I start now? I can see...
Madam Mayor, just for 1 second while you're on Keep Australia Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
I forgot to give you this.
See? I tell him to lead by example to teach Miles, and he failed again. Thank you. This is for you, Mr. Tudball. It was a great night. To Linda, to all the staff that were involved in regards to the Leeds program and also the Western Base, I was waiting to see what everybody else would do when we went up there, and what happened, Melton won the first award. We also won the biggest category there, which was environmental sustainability, and there were about 12 or 15 in that field, and there were some quite credible initiatives there, but our six-star sustainable business centre called the Western Base won that, and even the MC said, you're the winner of the night, but obviously we didn't have enough submissions to be part of the overall award, but we'll fix that next year, won't we, Mr. Tuppel? Okay, the Rotary Club of Caroline Springs, they're a fantastic bunch. The Refugee Week lunch, it just goes from strength to strength. I met with myself and the Deputy Mayor, met with the Deputy Trade Minister and Consul General in Australia from the Kingdom of the Netherlands, and they've got some exciting opportunities looking down at Amesbury, so we'll just wait and see what happens there. The Western Region Mayor's had a luncheon. Also, I attended the Melton District Historical Society AGM with Councillor Turner. The Diggers Rest Lions Club changeover. We've had two presentations from the Melton Primary School coming out to have visits. And on a sad note, before I start, Leonard Henry Goynan, a World War II veteran. Goynan passed away last week. Henry was some. Sorry, going to call it Leonard. Henry was someone I always beelined for at every Anzac Day, because he was a gentle soul and so giving to the community, and it'll be a sad day at his funeral later in the week. In regards to George's seats, I can only echo Councillor Carley's words. George passed away on June the 5th this year, but also 4 days earlier, on June the 1st, 2015, Joan Kerner passed away. Had it not been for Joan, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. And did I say this last minute? No, I didn't, did I? Because there have been so many funerals, I don't know who's died and who hasn't. When I heard the news, Joan actually came to Melton in 2001 and was the guest speaker to a panel of ladies that wanted to learn about getting elected in local government. And so I penned the words, "Thank you for being there for me. Your words of wisdom guided me and your smile reassured me." The amount of visits she gave to Melton continuously since then, and she always had a cuddle and a smile for me and said, how do you manage to keep going? So thank you for the many years of inspiration to not only myself but to all the other women in Melbourne's West. You were gutsy, determined, resilient, fearless, and we truly loved you. So thank you, Joan, Val Joan, for that. And I'll just finish really quickly, because I don't know what happened when I was out of the room, but when we went to the ALGA conference, we had a briefing or a presentation from the Deputy Prime Minister, Warren Trust. In the next 12 months, the government are going to focus on the Federation and taxation white papers will be the key focus. A temporary pause in the indexation of the financial assistance grant is not popular, but is only temporary, so they say. Roads to Recovery is now a permanent program. Heavy vehicles and black spot road programs have each received $200 million over the next 2 years. There's a focus on the Stronger Regions Fund and the Infrastructure Australia audit. Troy Pritchard, the ALG president, spoke of local government currently is collecting 3.4% of the nation's tax take. The freeze of the financial assistance grant will cost local government $925 million and permanently reduce the base by 13%. In 1996, FAGS, which is the financial assistance grant, represented 1% of Commonwealth revenue. This dropped to 0.7 by 2015 and nearly 0.5 by 2018. He lobbied about a national coordinated campaign approach for this to be delivered locally, and he's also calling for an appeal of council to endorse a resolution that regarding recognition and thanks for the financial assistance grant, but also requesting indexation. We also heard from a number of different speakers, and I mean the list just goes on and on, but then I'll just pass to the Leader of the Opposition, and I'm not being selective here, but these were the two I was the most interested in. Bill Shorten gave an energised and enthusiastic, passionate presentation. Communities matter, and he is very supportive of the role of local government. He identified four major non-negotiable changes occurring in Australian society, and they are the emergence of digital technologies, the clean energy and renewables, the ageing, and the rise of Asia in economic terms. Then he went into the challenges. What challenges and opportunities arise from this, and what's the role of government, local government? Digital technologies take geography out of the global economic equation, and local governments can mitigate isolation from online work and social interaction via its capacity to support neighbour lines. So there's no lines around neighbourhoods. Decentralisation power production creates new opportunities. Local government has taken a role in to people links, particularly through sister cities, student and cultural exchanges, as well as lifelong learning. Commonwealth owes you the resources to seize these opportunities. That's local government. And special packages are needed in growth areas, and more work needs to be done decentralising employment opportunities in major cities and bringing them into the regions. Now, I can go on and on and on. There were key points made by a number of different people from Greg Hunt, the Minister for the Environment. And the last lady that presented to us was Rosie Batty. I could remember her surname, I couldn't remember. And I mean, she was exceptionally inspirational. So, councillors, there's about 12 or 15 presentations here. I've got documentation on each and every one of them. And if you want any copies or to know anything further, please don't hesitate. Thank you. Okay, we will now move on to item 14 on the agenda. There are notice of motions nil. Councillors' questions without notice. Nil. Motions without notice.
I have one. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carley.
That at the next ordinary meeting of council, that a report be prepared for the full costs of holding every second ordinary council meeting at the Caroline Springs Library Civic Centre for the remainder of this council term.
Have you got that in writing, Councillor Carley, please?
Yes, I have, Madam Mayor, and I'll be sure to give it to Mr Bean, Corporate Services.
Thank you. So just any... Oh, that will lie in the box. Okay. Urgent business?
No, Madam Mayor.
Right. Confidential business.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated in 18.1, 18.2, 18.3 and 18.4.
Procedural motion has been moved by Councillor Cathy Madgley.
Madam Mayor, I'll second that motion as put.
Councillor Turner, the motion's been moved by Councillor Magic, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you to the gallery for coming out on such a cold day. I don't know if it's still freezing out there, but I can only hazard a guess. Drive safely. Please, will only be a matter of minutes. If you can wait, please do. Otherwise, drive safely, and I look forward to seeing you next month.